When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends. Hi, everybody.
Beauty.
Hey. Welcome back to Your Artificial Friends. Picking up. This is part two of two, talking about the demise of our beloved radio station, 100.3 The Sound, here in Los Angeles. For those of you who don't know who the hell we are, I'm Andy Chanley. I used to be somebody.
Andy, you were never anybody.
Just start the podcast off with a bummer.
Larry Morgan, he used to be somebody. He used to work at The Sound as well. Now works at K-Earth here in Southern California. Josh Fligger.
I'm always somebody.
He also worked at 100.3 The Sound. And
he's a potential somebody.
Is it the unemployment rate? we're having beers.
Look at
this. Decided to open this one up. Ooh, this is, this is a strong one.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah,
Dynamic
we're up in the ante.
Duo IPA.
That's a double IPA right there.
Aye.
And look at the cool
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
They know what they're doing up there in Portland.
This is great. Yeah, there's
isn't that beautiful? I literally bought it based upon the label alone, which is sometimes a great way to go.
That's the only way I really shop about anything.
That's how I pick my NCAA March Madness. It's like, they're Pelicans and they have a cool uniform? I'm going with them.
Ex Novo Brewing Company, Dynamic Duo, double IPA, double India Pale Ale made with Azaka and Citra hops.
Ooh.
Hand your glasses over.
I don't know what any of that
Not
means.
Over the mixing board.
Nope. Ooh, look at that color.
Fresh pour.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, that's so what, where is this from again?
Portland, Oregon. Where they know their stuff up there.
Ooh, this smells
What's
spicy.
The nose?
This is really hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we figured that the best way to do this is for me to get drunk and then shoot my mouth off.
Ooh, wow.
Right?
All right, boys.
Oh, here's a little bit extra. Would you guys
All
want
right.
some?
Yeah, give us extra because you're going to be talking and sobbing for the next 20 minutes, and Josh and I are not going to be able to get a word in edgewise.
I am really close to the door, by the way, so if you hear it, just open up.
Just squeaks open.
If you don't hear me for a while, I might be outside having a cigarette.
That is delightful. That is a fantastic. Mm. It's very...
Man, for flying blind, that turned out pretty nice.
Floral, citrusy.
That's nice, man. Yeah. That tastes lighter than an 8.0
It really
ABV.
Does. It does.
That's lovely. Oh, okay.
That's good.
So, hey.
So, let's set you up, Andy.
Quickly, a couple of bookkeeping things. Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Oh, yeah.
He actually is.
And thank you, everybody that's been listening to this.
He didn't just blow us off
He
this
has
time.
A job, too.
He actually does have a job.
He actually is covering stuff for the NFL. That's right. So, thank you for everybody that's been following this. The listens have been going up steadily, and we're really chuffed about that. Tell somebody you know about it on iTunes or Audio Boom. But, of course, you know that. Because you're listening now. And I should say this, too. I wanted to get this out. We're going to go to a daily version of it, and some of the daily versions might just be a look at this day in history. It might be just a micro podcast.
Damn it. You beat me to it.
See last episode.
Yes.
Call back. And
play the tape now. Okay, the good.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, but it might just be that on some days, but then other days there'll be all of us, there'll be some of us gathered together and augment the length of it a little bit. But I'm going to take the Thanksgiving week off and relax a little bit, spend some time with my family. So it's not going to be a daily thing until the Monday after Thanksgiving because it's been nice to kind of sleep in.
I was going to say, how long this round have you been doing mornings?
I started doing mornings at 100.3 The Sound, and it was just before Thanksgiving of 2013.
Right.
They put me in with Uncle Joe.
Right.
And they had me doing, I was still doing the 10 at 10.
Right.
Which I picked up after you left. I was still doing the 10 at 10 and working till 3 o'clock every day. So a 5-hour shift. And then they said, let's give Uncle Joe somebody to play with. Why don't you come in and do news at 6, 7, and 8 o'clock? Just do a, 3-minute podcast or a newscast at the top of the hour. And so I started doing that. So I'd get there at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the air for 9 hours a day, man.
Yeah.
And I'll have it was the highest ratings we've ever had.
Yeah.
It was great. Then a year later, a little more than a year later, they found some common ground with Mark Thompson and Mark and Brian, who was on the air for 25 years at KLOS. And it was determined that he was going to come back and be on the air starting the following February, Groundhog's Day. And I met with Mark, and we hit it off, you know, pretty well. I remember the first time I sat down and talked with him. He's like, so what's your favorite movie? And I'm like, I don't know. I'd have to say that Godfather Part II is way up there on the list. He's like, oh, yeah, Frodo. Can't believe it was you. I'm like, wait.
Oh, no.
Frodo? You mean Fredo?
It's not the Hobbit.
Lord of the Rings, father. Yeah, but I knew in that moment, this is going to be a blast. This man is going to have a lot of fun. And so I was excited and looking forward to it. And we did that show together, Mark in the Morning, for, 10 months? And I have to say, it was the most fun I had on a daily basis in radio, on a consistent daily basis, ever. And I'm in my 29th year of radio. It was just fun because everybody was trying to bring their A game every day. Everybody was trying to engineer every break so that it was the best it could be. He is special because he's one of those people that has it's like Don Rickles. People will go out of their way to be insulted by him, and they love it. You know, the more nasty it is, the more they enjoy it. It calls them, you know, stupid replaceable listeners, and they're like, "Yes, we are. So good. And it was just a pleasure to see that stuff. And one of the my favorite moments in the whole thing. It was one of the most replayed drops bits that we did. It wasn't even a bit. He was just taking phone calls talking to me. And this one guy says, "Hey, man, I remember, you know, we were out at the fair and I gave you a leather keychain," and Mark cuts him off and says, "I don't remember," and I threw it out. and I couldn't have been more shocked by that answer. And I get the giggles. I start laughing and I can't stop it. And I'm turning red, I'm turning purple, and you know, he just calls it all off for a minute until I can, you know, get oxygen again. But it was just those moments that you didn't expect, that you weren't ready for, and he just likes to have fun. And he's not somebody that wants to sit down and chit-chat.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to just make small talk. That's mm-hmm. not his thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I have conversations on text with him, and you know, mostly they're grunts.
Yeah. I've talked to the guy a million times. I don't think I've ever had one meaningful conversation with him in my life, but every time I talk to him, it's hilarious.
It's fun. Yeah. I just exchanged text with him the other day as we were shutting the station down, and he was very, very kind, very nice. And he said, enjoyed the time together. And I told him, you know, I don't admire a lot of people in radio, but he's one of them. And thanks for letting me tag along, you know, for that year. And he said, "We walk side by side, my friend." I think it was his. I'm like, "Yeah, but you walk bow-legged." He cuts a wide swath. Mark Thompson does.
Did was he on with you guys at all
on this
toward the end? You and Gina?
No, but we are going to be on his podcast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we are all going to join together and be on the Mark and Linda podcast.
Nice.
Soon, I think.
Awesome.
So check that out if you haven't had a chance to. And that should be a lot of fun to get together with all those guys. And going up and starting the show, we interviewed a bunch of people, a bunch of the you know, you don't just want to have it be a sausage fest. You want to get a woman in there to balance things out and tell us that we're chauvinist assholes. And Gina was the perfect person to do that.
Yeah.
She excels at it. we talked to other people and had some rehearsals with a couple of people, and they were fantastic. They're pros, and they all did admirable jobs and were good, and the show could have been great, you know, with those people. But there was something about when we sat down with Gina where It just dovetailed. And we thought, okay, well, there was 15 minutes, and we looked over at the clock, and it was 40 minutes later.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just went quickly, and it felt effortless and fun and good. And like, wow, we did that? We could have kept going.
So when they were doing the auditions for the female co-host, mm-hmm. we had about two or three that they had finalized, got it down to. And I was the one that like went up and met them and escorted them back, you know, and it was all. And she was the last one that I'd met. And that, what is it, 100-foot walk from the front to the back? By the time we got to the back, I was like, this girl has the job. And she's like my new best friend. And I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I think halfway there, right in front of the sound logo, we were already like laughing hysterically about something that we both said. And it was probably something really stupid. And then by the time we got to the studio, I was like, okay, Patner in the back. Like, I'm right here. I'll see you in a little bit. You know? She just fit in with you guys so well. Yeah. It felt like it was like all three met and there it is. That's how it should be.
Gina's a super talent, and I knew Gina before you guys met her, because she had basically an administrative job at Premiere Networks, where I was a boss there for a while.
I mean, people that don't know what Premiere is, it's a radio content company and syndication company where you will put shows on around the country and also just create content for people that do radio shows around the country.
I mean, they still currently distribute everything from Rush Limbaugh to Ryan Seacrest's American Top 40 to a lot of prep and comedy services, which is where the area that Gina was working on. But she was largely in an administrative position and behind a desk all day and was working on a couple of services. But you could also go in and say, Gina, we need you to be Britney Spears for this bit because she just went and shaved her head and whatever. And she would go in and transform and do and just kill this hilarious bit that we would send out to, you know, bad morning shows around the country who relied on our stupid comedy bits. And she would go in and become that person and make it elevate the material and be funnier than it was. And I think for years, Gina had been trying to find a place for herself and no takers. And she had finally connected with Adam Carolla's podcast, where she has a high profile.
She had just started doing that like a month or so before we started.
Where she still has a very high profile role and they love her there. But she was at that place of being, you know, she didn't want to be an actress necessarily. She didn't want to go out and do that stuff. But she just had this talent. And everybody was kind of looking at her like, why isn't she like famous or something, you know? And so the Corolla thing happening and the sound thing happening in a row was just like, my dreams are coming true. Yeah. This is what I've been wanting to do. It was the right venues for her. And I was so happy to see that happen for her.
And, you know, Corolla doesn't suffer fools.
No.
Oh, yeah.
If you spend any time talking to him, he'll chew you up. Yeah. If you don't fit in with what he's trying to do.
Yeah, if you can't hang, you're not going to, and you're plus, not gonna you're, last. You're just not going to be around.
In the early days, he would say, you know what, I don't need much from that, the female news sidekick. I don't need much from that, just read stuff and I'll riff. And then in the, you know, a few months ago, he's like, wow, you know, she really, really is good at this. She's a good person. I enjoy seeing her every day. And you can tell when somebody gets to be a pro, and I think his quote was, it takes a lot of reps in this industry. People don't realize how long you have to spend in front of a microphone before you get to be comfortable with it. And it feels like something natural and you can hear your own voice and it's okay and all that stuff. But so that we started it and all of the players came together and there were a lot of us bordering on too many.
I want to shout out to our friend Eric Harthen, who did a bunch of amazing voices
so
for you guys.
Awesome. Good. He was so good.
Again, all the elements there for something really special.
Yeah, go to
and you.
EricHarthen.com, is that his? It has to be something. Look, Google him.
Eric Harthen, H-A-R-T-H-E-N.
I think he has a website, Harthen. Eric Harthen.
Yeah. Super talented guy.
God, he can do anything. He can do anything. But, I mean, some of his best stuff was so tongue in cheek and low key. Mm-hmm. His Bruce Springsteen. Did you hear it?
Yes. Yes.
It was so good. Yes. You felt like you were listening to Bruce. It was really, really on point.
He's one of those guys who he's not doing a caricature. He is nailing it.
Yeah.
Nailing it.
So, a great cast, all of them put together. And then we got bought. And the new company came in. And we talked about this in the last episode. Won't go into the details. But because of weird, arcane logic and rules, the ratings went down. We didn't change the show. From one day to the next, because of bizarre, arbitrary things, the ratings dissipated. And you've got this new company, and you can't fault them for walking in and saying, hey, we bought this station that was killing it and rising the charts with a bullet, and now everything's gone away. What's happening here? And they started to, you know, make changes.
And I guess I can talk about this because I don't have any investment in it, but Mark was probably not cheap. It was probably pretty expensive.
I'll dare say he made more than I did. I don't know what
I know for a fact that he made more than I did. I think so. I don't know. I might have to go back and look at the books, and I'm pretty sure he made.
I would suspect it was not cheap to have him back there.
Look, if he wasn't the highest paid person on that station, he's a dumbass. you know?
I mean, yeah. So there's that too.
And yes, if you are going for a while through nothing that was his fault. If the show was as good the day after those people left the you know, meter panel as it was the day before, and you can't control that.
No.
You can't. I mean, the company that does that stuff used to be called Arbitron. There's arbitrary right there in the name.
It's built in. And just a few letters away.
So what do you do? Yeah. And the answer to that is you keep doing what you know is good radio day in and day out. And you don't think about that stuff. You don't worry about the numbers. You just have to go in. You know, if a batter goes up to the batting box and is thinking, okay, I'm currently at a 321. I better try to get that. You can't think about that. You better be eyeing that pitch and the rhythm of the pitcher, or you're not going to do it.
And there's nothing. There's literally nothing in the world you can do about it.
It has nothing.
So it's like you just almost looking at those numbers as an entertainer. You shouldn't even look at those numbers because they never matter to you.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you do. It's not going to change those numbers.
If you were in any other business where you're providing a product to a consumer, you have hard facts. I am making this box that I am going to put on shelves, and people are going to buy it. And I know they're buying it because they disappear from the shelves. It's pretty easy supply and demand. With this kind of situation, you're talking about a methodology that never made sense before and doesn't make sense now and is imperfect in the most it's just built to not be. In theory it's more accurate,
right?
In practice it's still highly flawed,
makes me just, it boggles my mind that there isn't someone out there pursuing it. Could change an industry to get a better system than...
Go check out episode 2 of Your Artificial Friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wasn't we here. Talk a lot about this.
I was on assignment.
I think the answer is cell phones. You know, like you can Shazam something.
Yep.
You've used the Shazam app where you hold it up to a speaker, a song you don't know. They could do something like that with cell phones and get your ratings figured, and it would be much more democratic because people are more likely to carry around an iPhone 10 than they are a pager looking thing that looks like they're expecting a call from 1985.
Well, also, it wasn't like, I don't know, don't quote me, but like Chevy or somebody looking into some type of proprietary material to put in your radio. In your car radios, OnStar.
It exists. We know this because we have a thing on our bodies practically 99% of the time that can tell us, tell anybody really, where we are, what we're doing, what apps we have.
My wife.
If you were to Google something for your distant cousin who likes Toby Keith, and then all of a sudden you're getting a bunch of ads for Toby Keith's new album popping up.
That's no accident.
So here's the thing. Radio doesn't want anybody to know down to the second what people are listening to. because it would show with great accuracy that the moment their advertisers' the commercials came on,
they take a shit.
People disappear.
They do. You can look at a graph of it, and it you see the dip.
It drops off the freaking cliff.
Because that's what everybody does.
Yeah.
You, you comes to commercials, you flip to something else.
It's the biggest thing that television's having to deal with right now with now that everything's on demand is just trying to kind of find a way.
People zipping through commercials.
What do advertisers do?
Totally.
Yeah. So it exists.
They start making changes because it's a business. And meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It's they own this thing. And they need to show a profit for it. They need to show a profit for their investment. That's what they are doing. That's why they employ me. And that's why they employ everyone there. So they started making decisions to move things around. Did I agree with them? No.
When you say move things around, they moved you around.
They moved me to the afternoons and put me in a situation I didn't love. But... here's the thing.
They kept me as a program assistant.
And they did not hire me back. I just want to make that clear.
My philosophy in a situation like that... Yeah, they didn't ask you to return.
No, they did not.
My philosophy in a situation like that is like when you're playing blackjack and you have two tens. You don't split them.
Yeah.
You've got 20 showing. Don't split those. But hindsight's 20/20. If it had worked like gangbusters and they'd moved me to afternoons and I'd become... a phenomenon and number one in the market, and they're also still killing it in the mornings, then they look like heroes, right? So it's pretty easy to make pot shots from the cheap seats, but you can also see a scenario where that would have done it, and that would have made everything, you know, happy, and every day would be Christmas. You can see how that plan wasn't just lame-brained, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, the things continued on that route, and I ended up back in the mornings with Gina and Mark, rode off into the sunset. And many people were unhappy about that. I wasn't delighted about all of that. But you have to show up and do the job then. And it's like when, remember when Norm MacDonald was fired from Weekend Update?
Mm-hmm. On Saturday SNL, Night? Yeah.
And Colin Quinn comes out, and he knows that,
yeah,
people are ready, you know, just with their arms folded, entertain us, you know. And he comes out and he makes that little speech saying, you know, you got your favorite bar. You go down there to the bar and Rob fixes you your drink. And Rob knows just how you like your drink. He puts just the right amount of liquor in it. And he knows that you like those nuts, you know, the nut mix, not the ones with the big filberts, but the other nut mix, the good stuff. And he always makes sure you have that. He knows what game you like to watch. It's a great place to go down to the bar and hang out with Rob. Then Rob gets fired. Suddenly you show up and there's Steve. Steve doesn't know anything about what you like. Steve doesn't get your drink right the first time. He wants to watch the football game instead of the hockey game. But he learns. He'll learn over time. He'll get better. How you doing? I'm Steve. What can I get you? And that's so you try to go in and win the hearts and minds of the people that are left over. There'll be a few people that stick around out of morbid curiosity. There'll be a few people that will stick around just to hate it, like those two old guys in the balcony in the Muppets. And
there are people who were not fans of Mark.
There are people that were happy about it, yeah. And so there's a mixture of all that. But no one had wronged me, and you know, from the company and all of that. And I still have a family to take care of. You know my kids and my wife. I've got a mortgage to make and cars to pay for and a retirement to plan for. So it's my job. It's what I do. And radio jobs aren't that easy to come by, you know?
And less and less every day.
And so you keep going and trying to do your best. And then in February, so that switch happened last August. And then in February of this year, I'm riding to work, and I get an email from one of the trade magazine.
This is a great way to hear about it.
That's how we always.
Oh.
It says that the company that owned us was going to merge with the company that owns K Earth and other stations in this market. And I look at it, and I start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, six.
Yeah.
And for people that don't know, there's an FCC limit. There's a federal limit on how many stations one company can own on either band in a market. And this combined company would be at six. You have to be at five.
Yeah.
So FMs, somebody's going to have to go away. And when we're the newest and we're trailing the ratings of the other stations, the writing is on the wall pretty much that we're going to be going away. But they then announced in the months that followed that it would probably either be Jack or us. And so for months we were operating on, well, we could be fine. We could be okay.
They basically put out there, give us your best offer.
Right.
And we'll take the best deal for us.
Exactly. Now, we know that the owner or the president of the company that we work for loves sports, and the Sound has the Rams games. So I'm thinking, well, you know, you got to keep. He's probably going to want to hang on to the Rams. You know, we just worked on getting the. So I had actually worked it out to us, you know, 50-50. I didn't know. It was a coin flip of how things were going to work out. And then we found out like 6-7 weeks ago that it was going to be us. We were going to be changing, and it was going to be to a Christian station, which is a smart business move for them because you're getting rid of competition. You know, for the other rock, or you know, we talked about how our stations share some listenership and likes of the audience. It makes sense if you're going to, you know, why sell it to somebody who's going to kill you with it? You know,
right?
Why sell your car dealership license franchise to somebody who's going to come in and undercut you across the street?
Mm-hmm.
No, they sold it to a Christian broadcaster, and ain't nobody. Going to be sharing audience between them.
Well, the fish.
Well, there's that. So the writing's on the wall, and then it was this slow march. We know that it's just going to be a slog.
Yeah.
But
you know it's going to be a slog with no definite end in sight, which we talked about last episode.
Yeah, between 30 and 60 days was the initial number that was thrown out there. Then people had talked about, I had heard at one point someone say, there's a way that this could go into February. I'm like, what?
You know what? I just pictured what it was like when they told us we didn't know yet. It was like you have a job at McDonald's and they go, hey, you're not going to have a job here in 2 weeks. And then you go up and this guy is like, can I have that Big Mac without the Thousand Island dressing? And can I get, I want the, you know, and then all this custom wars, and you're just looking at him like, shut the fuck
up. I'm so.
How do I have any enthusiasm for what I do when I know?
I am so going to spit in that Big Mac.
I was going to say, are you accusing me of spitting to light my fire?
was there part of you that, I mean, I know, you should have the rest of that.
I should have the rest of this?
Because you're about to get emotional.
Oh, am I? I don't think so. So this other one, sorry.
Why don't we crack the Belching Beaver?
Yeah.
Yeah, this, because I
remember. And that's not a euphemism for anything.
Crack the Belching Beaver? Did that
Belching Beaver peanut butter milk stout?
That just sounds awful.
That sounds like it would be amazing with pancakes.
It's why I had to get it. Belching Beaver Brewery peanut butter milk stout.
It's going to be a beer dessert, is what it's
going to be. I think it's more of like a breakfast beer.
It's a beer dessert.
What, really? You consider peanut... Well, I guess maybe. Okay. Right? Here you go, Joshy.
So, where were we?
Ooh, well, dark. Here's the thing. Oh, it is so dark. See, we're going to pour a couple of full glasses because we're going to kind of probably turn things over to you and not say anything for a while. Here's the thing, Andy. Let me set you up.
Oh, wait. Smell this real quick.
That's what she said. Sorry, I'm a little buzzed. Oh, my God.
It smells like a peanut butter sandwich. Cheers.
Yeah. Okay.
Peanut butter?
Oh.
That's insane.
In a good way?
Oh. Yeah. That's like if...
It's like a peanut butter milkshake.
Oh.
That is really good.
All right.
Okay.
All right, so go on your sap story.
Here's the thing. You... If anybody has history with this station, it's you. I mean, there's so much that's happened in 9.5 years, but the beginning of the station, we've talked about in previous episodes, go back, scroll down a little bit in the feed, of what it was when it began.
Yeah, it was a AAA station, Adult Alternatives.
As they call it. And you were the first voice on the station.
Mm-hmm.
You are the only person besides... the program director, Dave Biesing, as far as I can tell. And, you know, some of the salespeople and Peter Burton. You know, none of those people that matter. Only person on air that made it all the way through.
Yeah.
To
I'm a cockroach.
To be the I would dare say, clearly, it is the longest you've held any position anywhere ever.
Yeah.
Of any kind.
Yeah, other than like my undergraduate education.
Yeah.
You know, even that was spread over a couple of schools.
So in a way, you kind of your connection to the sound, 9.5 years is a good run. You know, a lot of people have been bringing up KMET and kind of talking about, because anybody who's in Southern California and is a rock fan for any length of time kind of made that connection. We made that connection. We were on the air there. We did a KMET reunion. It was our one reference to a throwback of a time that we were trying to connect to, because people were telling us that it reminded them of KMET, even though we were nothing like KMET.
No.
But
and you know, if people say, hey, you look like George Clooney, you're not going to say, no. You're going to do everything you can
The one thing that stood out about me about the sound and this the final wrapping up thing is this is my first radio gig. So it's like, I don't know what radio is like. You know, the only radio I know is the sound. And you guys have been all over. So when I basically had all these... you know, like Rita Wild and Joe Benson and all these amazing jocks and, you know, you too, Andy. tell me that you'll never see anything like this again. And they're telling me you don't understand. You experienced something that just isn't.
Well, you did. I mean, I think that's
true. But it's hard for me. I mean, I don't realize that because I've never, this is my first radio gig. And then to finally sit back and see.
They aren't all like this.
Right.
And Andy's had a different experience than mine, but I got to live through the last vestiges of like Top 40 at its real kind of insane peak when that was the thing. You experienced kind of the eclectic. You know, there was a little surge of, you worked at Y107 and you worked at
Channel
103.1, and you kind of had this ability to work at stations that didn't cater to a normal format, and then the sound was similar to that. And certainly what we
They didn't care about what you might call success.
But even as the sound evolved, we were still trying to make it not the norm, at least portray it as the kind of inmates running the asylum kind of thing.
Yeah.
And even if it wasn't exactly that, there was a sense of ownership.
It was
that
different.
You had.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was different.
It was rougher around the edges than Jack, say, or, you know, The Wave, or
it didn't rely on a kind of a slickness or a created product that even if it became a little more familiar and a little tighter.
Yeah.
So my point is, first voice on the station, last voice on the station, the only person who could easily be connected to it for that full 9.5 years, which is a long stretch. That is a big chunk of your life.
It's a fifth of my life.
Yeah. I don't know how I would deal with that. So where are you at? It's fresh, I know.
I'm today. How am I right now?
Yeah.
I'm actually having a great time being in this chair, talking to two people that have been my friends for years and years, and talking about things that people care about or don't care about. I mean, that's what Sam was the one who coined that phrase, your artificial friends. And it, you know, again, it bears repeating, I guess, people that have picked up since then. He just said, you know, when we were talking about what we wanted this to be, and I said, I want to do, you know, we'll do some content, some fun facts and fun and things like that, but I want it at its essence to be people feeling like they can just tune in and join it in progress and feel like they're, you know, like when you meet a friend that you haven't seen in 15 years and you sit down at the bar stool and suddenly you're right back in it, man. Mm-hmm. You're right back exactly where you were when you talked to him last. And it's common and it's familiar and it's good. And he said, you know, how many friends, when's the last time you sat down with your friend from college and talked about something over a beer? I don't know, a long time. How many of your friends did you get from your wife's Mommy and Me class or from your kid's school? And I'm like, a lot. And they're wonderful people, but I didn't pick them. I didn't, you know, come across. And that's what I wanted this to be, and that's what I feel it is. And if people like it and it goes somewhere and you know, there's a groundswell of support for it, great. If not, I don't imagine this is going to make me rich. You know, we've made zero money off of this
All
so
profits
far.
Have been put to the four beers we've drank.
I have spent.
But, by the way, this space, available for sponsorship.
It is. It really is. Exactly. It truly is. So I'm in this moment, to answer your question, I'm happy. A different question is, how was I in that moment just before 1 o'clock?
Yeah. Oh, how did you hold it together?
On Thursday. I didn't.
I will tell you, I saw the video, and I was looking at your face, and I wasn't sure how to read where you were. I will tell you this. My first reaction was, Andy looks almost angry. I mean, there was a celebratory thing, but there was... No, I take it back. You look defiant. And I don't know what I was reading there, but I kind of think it was... to me, it was like, fuck you, we did it the way we thought we needed to do it.
And if you got... Yeah, we all heard it, but if you listeners, if you didn't hear what he said, a little... behind the scenes thing is we thought we were going off air with just the vinyl with the Beatles. Mm-hmm. He comes into my office like 5 minutes before and goes, we have to do a damn station ID is the last thing. It's an FCC rule. So everything he did, that wasn't like 3 weeks of sitting there going, what am I going to say? He had like 5 minutes and a whole station staring at him.
With two TV cameras.
Yeah, and two TV cameras. And that's what he came up with. And I was just like, that was awesome. That was so, it was just being in the moment there. That was really great. I thought you did a hell of a job. And I don't know how, I couldn't even be in the room. I was just like, I don't even want to be in that room because I'm going to start wailing like a pig.
Well, you didn't look sad, is what I'm saying.
Thank you for saying that.
I think
that,
there was some
Josh,
other,
but yeah,
I think there was some other emotion going on, and I don't know if you even know.
I know that I was trying to hold it together.
Yeah,
very hard. And I went to Dave before I went in there, and I said they need a legal ID at the top of the hour to because. Okay, the legal ID is between 10 minutes before the hour and 10 minutes after the hour. You have to say your call letters followed by the city of license or at the next break in programming. That's the federal rule that you have to follow. It's one of the few rules that you have in radio anymore. And they...
And by the way, completely unnecessary.
Mostly is, but... If there's a time when federal regulators are watching, it's when there's a handover of a signal from one entity to another.
Right.
So you got to get this one right, and I can't fault them for wanting us to do that.
Intercom
and
thanks you.
They
by
can't.
The way.
They can't. The EMF, the new company, they can't identify themselves as us. We have to identify ourselves as that. Mm-hmm. So I understood, but I went into to Dave, the program director, and I said, "So I need to do that. All right." Well, just so you know, I'm not going to have a lot of words because I know I'm affectable, highly affectable, and you know I'm not going to my daughter's wedding. I won't be able to attend because I'll cry uncontrollably the entire time. So I know that looking around that room and the thing that gets me, and when you know I was taking acting classes. It was always easy for me to cry because I had no trouble inventing in my mind characters that I had emotion for.
Yeah. You can find an emotional place easily.
And you don't, you know, I didn't do the method acting stuff. It was because I think that if you think about your mother on her deathbed, after a while, you know, it's our nature to come up with defense mechanisms so you don't feel that pain all the time. You know, we come up with invented characters, and you imbue them with enough realism and detail, and then when you do something, then you're able to cry. And it wasn't something that I had a hard time with. In this instance, I'm looking around the room at people I genuinely care about. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at people like Joe Benson and Rita Wild and all the people that are in that room who have been in radio for decades. And now they don't have a job anymore. And they're not 30. And they don't know what job is next. I'm 49 and I don't know what job is next. So I have my own stress and things to worry about for what will happen for me. But I'm looking around the room and I see them. And I know that I can't talk long. Because if I do, I'm just going to break. I'm going to break down. Yep. And once you start that, yeah, that quiver.
This is KS, WD, 100.3. That's how they got away.
I didn't want that to happen. Not just out of pride, but, well, yeah, out of pride, I guess. So we announced, it was determined what the last music would be, and I had no problem with it. You know, side two of Abbey Road, unassailable. I can't love it anymore. By the way, in announcing it, I said there are 11 words at the end of this that say what many of us are feeling at this time. And I play it. And somebody tweets me later, man, I was waiting for it. I was looking at the lyrics to Her Majesty.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out what you were talking about the longest time. We shut it off before Her Majesty came. Yeah. So in the end, the love you make is equal to the love. Yeah, whatever. Wait, reverse it. Thank you. And so then it comes to that final sign-off, and I have to say, the legal ID, the call letters followed by the city of license. So I said, this was KSWD, Los Angeles. And I was looking around the room to all the people, and I said, this is the sound. And then some snarky, this dream will self-destruct, and kind of tossed my headphones at the end of it. Because it was a dead body, the mixing board.
Yeah.
That everything that we had done
went away in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing to think about. And that's the cool thing about radio. And I think the reason that you were drawn to it, Larry, when you were 6.
Thank you.
In the 1940s.
Oh, stop it. You had me and you lost me.
Everything that you say is immediately on its way to Mars. Those electromagnetic waves that you say in this microphone, that go through this board, that go down the hall, that go through an exciter, an expander, and compressor, and up to the roof of the building on a station-to-transmitter link over microwaves, and is received at the Mount Wilson transmitter, and is sent up the pole and blasted off a plate at however many volts, and then shot across the basin to every radio that's in line of sight of it. They're also going, you know, up to the stratosphere and beyond.
I'm not worried about any of that. I'm worried my mom's going to hear what I say. I don't give a shit what anybody hears me say. I will never tell my mom I'm doing this podcast because I know I'll get a phone call every. What did you say? That never
Joshua.
Happened.
Josh. That is
Josh. Yeah, you know I didn't raise you boys to talk like that in radio.
Oh, hey, that's damn good.
I know, right?
I just had a sip of that.
Right.
That's not bad. I don't think I'd have more than one, but it's...
It's a dessert.
No,
beer.
it was a nice way.
Do you know what...
This would be good with ice cream.
I was just about to say this would be good beer, with a
float. This is the beer float beer right
This
here.
Is the beer float.
Hey,
What's
you know
it
what?
Again? What's it called again?
Hey, it's... look, folks at Belching Beaver Brewery, if you want to sponsor this podcast, we will tout your stout. Hey! There's the new podcast.
Belching Beaver is also another nickname I had back in high school.
Hey, nice beaver. So anyway, Larry, there might have been a little defiance in that of, you know, it was like
I didn't mean that as a negative thing.
No, it was just, you know, it's
rock and roll, man.
Useless. All of this stuff that we built up, this brand, and listeners around the world, in Australia, in Scandinavia, in Africa, and it just all seemed useless. Yeah.
But it's not. I mean, look, there's nothing, there's, of all the things in the world that I hate the most, cynicism is one. And nostalgia is a close second to me. Because nostalgia doesn't do any good. I mean, it's like, memories are great, but to live in something that doesn't exist anymore because it's part of your past you'll never get back is just, that's a level of hell you should never put yourself through. Mm-hmm. I mean, a radio station is a part of your life. Certain things are a part of your life. You're never going to be 16 again. I mean, one of the things about that rubs me the wrong way, one of the reasons I liked the sound is that we didn't revel in nostalgia. We had moments of 10 at 10 was all about, you know, I would throw in drops of stuff from old commercials and stuff. It was fun to reminisce.
Great pop culture, yeah.
That reminiscing is one thing. But being one of those people that goes, nobody made a good rock song after 1982. And right. It's like, fuck you. You know what? Half of my iPod is filled with stuff from the 90s that I love.
Yeah, and the person that says that also hasn't bought a CD since 1982.
Right.
They just refuse to look.
So my point is, appreciate that you got what you got.
Absolutely. And right? I wouldn't feel this way. Like, I worked at JCPenney when I was young.
Okay. Comparable.
Hold on. The day we need to pour more of this.
I'll be right back. Go ahead, Andy.
All right. This is going to be a good one.
The day I walked out of that building,
yeah,
I didn't care if all those people died in a fire.
You know? It's called your Artificial Friends podcast. Go ahead and give your email out.
You know, I mean, I had
no
interest in keeping up
right.
or anything like that. I love Uncle Joe.
Yeah,
I want him to be happy and do what he wants to do. And he's syndicated in I don't know 150 cities with right. the Uncle Joe stuff and Off the Record and all that. He's gonna be fine, but. The other thing that I was going to say in that moment. So the clock's counting down over on a computer screen to zero. I'm looking out the window, that 270-degree view that I'm never going to look out again. Mm-hmm. Seeing the ocean, seeing the Hollywood sign, seeing a million people that are hearing my voice, or potentially. And the room is filled with everybody that's worked there recently, and a couple of TV cameras in my face, and all of this, and Rita Wilde sees me from across the room, and she looks at me, and she just does this, you know, just this
deep,
calming breath.
She's take
like,
a deep breath, Andy.
Like, lift it up,
yeah.
And she is leading me through a few of those going up to it because, you know.
You know what?
It was pretty heady.
Because everybody else in that room pretty much has gone through something similar before. A lot of those people worked at KMET and it went away. And a lot of those people worked at KLOS for years and years and years and were asked to leave.
Yeah.
And the fact is, and I think we talked about this when I was on with you and Gina that morning, you know, the music still going to be around. It's not like you killed side two of Abbey Road. People are still going to be able to listen to that.
Right.
But what you did and how you brought it to people, that's with them. That's going to stay with them.
I mean,
one of the reasons, like you said, you know, radio goes out into the atmosphere and who knows what alien is listening to our transmissions, you know, light years from now. But when you do it and you do it right and you do it with the right mentality, it's the greatest personal connection you can make in any form of entertainment because it's the closest thing to being one-on-one with somebody.
It really is.
They really do bring you in.
People let you in their car in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
That's sacred.
Yeah.
We're all in our cars, and people that let you in to be in their car with them.
You can't say you watch Stranger Things and you feel like, oh, I'm Winona Ryder's best friend. But somebody listens to you, somebody listens to, well, probably not me, but they'll go, no, they probably don't think of me as a friend. No. But they feel personally connected. That's what's so painful about a radio station that goes away.
They watched you put the boys' bodies underneath your floorboards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Wait. Shh. No. Shh, shh, shh,
shh. I was there. I swear to God, I was there watching.
So the sound going, that's why something like the sound going away or KMET going away, something has been a part of your life like that, and it's very much a part of a formative part of your life, whether it was, you know, me in college listening to KMET and then that went away. I remember, you know, people were just up in arms about it. The sound going away is a part of their younger life being pulled away from them. It's mortality. It feels like you've lost a friend. You and Gina are not part of their lives every morning. Uncle Joe is not an immediately
part of their workday.
Familiar, soothing voice. The guy in your life
goes full circle, like you were saying about routine. You needed that routine. You guys were the routine in people's lives.
Well, Uncle Joe is the guy that we've all had in our lives that knew way more about music than we did, and we were educated.
I think the last thing I said to him, he corrected me on a Led Zeppelin. I swear to God. We were talking about Since I've Been Loving You, and he's like, oh, the drum pedal squeak. And I thought that was something else. And he goes, No, come here. And he pulls out, I swear to God, he pulls out the Uncle Joe little thing. And he goes, goes to the page, goes, right here.
Uncle Joe. And Uncle Joe is literally.
I gave him a hug. I was like, thank you.
Uncle Joe is literally the uncle who had better taste in music than anybody else you knew and loaned you their fill-in-the-blank album. Right?
Yeah, that's a great call.
Literally wrote the book on classic rock. Yeah. Wrote two of them.
So when those guys, that's your family. I mean, you talk about your family, but we got to remember for the listeners, we're their family too. Yeah. I mean, if we're allowed to be a part of their lives that often every day.
I tweeted about this. This totally happened right out here on the front step on Friday when they're leaving. Laura's taking the kids to drop Silas off at school, and she's starting to pull out, and she said, "Oh my God, what do we listen to?" Because they'd listened every morning on the way to school to me and Gina, and I said, it's not my problem. Shut the door.
And then went back to bed.
Oh my God, I think we need to end the podcast on that.
Let's do it. It's not going to get much better.
Hey, dude.
All right, so that was a lot of hot, steamy radio talk right there.
Yeah. It really was.
But it was emotional and real, and he actually, I just want to tell you people, he actually shed a tear, you big puss.
Shut up. He does have feelings. And don't ask us any more questions about the sound.
Do I not bleed?
Honestly, I swear to God, I've known you for 9.5 years. I thought you were dead inside. So,
hey, thanks.
I learned something
there,
today.
Like if you split them open, there was just a little cockroach with a bunch of levers.
Now there's the logo for the podcast.
Then you open up his chest and he goes, and it squeals away underneath the sink somewhere.
Okay, that's the end of the podcast.
I'm starting to think beer should be in every one of these. Thanks for tuning in to your artificial friends.
I can't get that visual out. Just a split open Andy with his goopy ass face and a little cockroach going, oh shit!
Thanks for subscribing. Andy_Chanley at twitter.com.
JoshuaJFlinger@gmail.com.
Larry Morgan @Larry_Morgan.com. Because underscores are cool with the kids. They love those underscores.
Pretty cool. So we'll start daily Monday. What date is that after Thanksgiving?
27th.
The Monday after Thanksgiving. Yeah. Whatever it is.
27th.
Cyber Monday.
Ooh.
We'll start.
You're going to go cyber on.
I'm going to go cyber. So join us for that, a daily edition between now and then. I'm going to eat too much and get even fatter. Thanks for joining us for your artificial friends.
I think this is where you're supposed to. I'm trying to get you a habit of playing the theme song. If you're going to establish it, I mean, come on, let's get this thing together.
Seriously?
Go ahead. Let's get now. It's just.
I swear to God.
Don't even do it.
Can't you produce this thing?
Don't even bother now.
Jesus. Just have another drink of beer. Okay. No. All right.
Bye now.
That's my favorite episode.
That was fun.